Welcome to Career Tools. This week, our resume update for 2013. Okay, Wendy, so we do this every year, and it's interesting because we believe that resumes aren't going to go away anytime soon.
Absolutely.
Even though there's social media and there's video.
Video?
I can't believe you're against video resumes.
Yeah, people sending their resume on pizza. Like,
yeah,
why can't we be creative?
Let's be exciting. Okay, so we say it every year to start off. Guys, if you're wondering what's going to be new or different, not a lot. We never change our core guidance. But there are some things that affect the market, or we're getting different tones of questions sometimes. We want to address those. We don't want to address every single one all the time. I'm going to give you some overall general guidance. So, what are we going to talk about?
Okay, so we've got five items this
week. That's a lot, actually. It is, actually, for 2013. Yeah, okay.
So, disintermediation continues. So the advice for that is make sure that you can be found.
I'm sure we're going to explain what disintermediation is.
We are. We're going to explain
one of my favorite words. Good.
Both of those things mean. In-house is coming back, and the guidance there is apply directly.
Yes. Oh, I could see that absolutely. Yeah, large companies. That makes sense. Yeah.
Achievement focus is spreading.
Oh, dude.
Update your accomplishments.
Yeah, we're not cutesy anymore. It's all about results. Yeah. It's all about keeping us out of the red, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Good.
Social media recruiting works if you want to work in social media.
Yes. The first time I read social media works, I'm like, no, we disagree finally about something. But yeah. No. And there are a lot of jobs in social media, aren't there?
Oh, there's tons.
There's 100. I'm kidding.
And the final one is the market is lumpy. Don't believe all that you read.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, though, that people make a mistake about believing that they are the market. And no one ever has a market experience.
Yep.
Everybody's in the bell curve somewhere, and 10,000 people make up a bell curve.
Yeah.
And you may be at one end or the other or in the middle. You don't know.
Yeah.
And everybody seems to think that everybody else has had the exact same experience that they're having. Right?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, so let's talk about disintermediation. You probably want to define that. And you say make sure we can be found.
Yeah. So the disintermediation is the reduction in the systems and processes that stand between you and a hiring manager.
Yeah.
So what happened previously was a hiring manager would go to HR, he'd talk to them, tell him what they wanted. HR would write a job description and an advert. They would then send that out to an agency. The agency would find candidates and maybe advertise it also in the paper. And then the candidate
might talk to some individual recruiters that they knew, people who were specialists.
And then the candidate would come back through all of those loops back to the hiring manager.
Through the recruiter, to the recruiting firm, through the advert or what have you, perhaps through the job board or whatever, and then ultimately through HR and then back to
and
the
then back to the hiring manager. Yeah.
And I think it's important. Let me make sure. Let's help people 10, 15 years from now when we go through another downturn. Again, folks, we're recording this in 2013. No need to listen to this if you're in 2015, probably, right?
Yeah, probably.
Right, because we're going to do this every year for you. But why is disintermediation continuing? Folks, disintermediation always happens after a market peaks, okay? As the market gets stronger and stronger, people rush in to serve unmet needs. When it is a buyer's market, that is to say a hiring market as opposed to a seller's market or a recruiting market, if you will. If it's a hiring market, more people realize there's money to be made in recruiting. A lot of people go into it because they think recruiting is fun. A lot of people have a lot of contacts. When I said that, folks, Wendy made a funny face about recruiting is fun. I actually like interviewing, though.
Oh, I love to
interview. Yeah, we love interviewing.
Yeah, people who think recruiting is fun don't last very long.
It's a business. Yeah, it's a business. But the point is, guys, is that at the end of a boom market, there's all kinds of infrastructure there that's been built to serve the market. When markets grow, more people go into that market because they perceive there's more available cash than there are in a market that's deteriorating. It's a bit like writers leaving large newspapers and smaller newspapers to become freelancers or to write for blogs or what have you, right? So the reason disintermediation is continuing is because the market's been bad for quite a while.
Yes.
However, in this case, we have an additional force in disintermediation, which is social media, or let's put it more broadly, the electronic media that allows you to reach more people. Okay, so we can assume that when the market starts to pick back up, and I think it's safe to say that in the next couple of years it will, that gradually you'll discover that longer supply chain for big companies or even smaller companies lengthening, and then it'll get smaller again as the market goes. Okay, good. Yeah. A little bit of economics there, but okay, go ahead.
So as you said, there's two things that have really driven this change. First is the change in technology and the fact that recruiters can now go straight onto LinkedIn and contact candidates directly.
Absolutely.
Companies can go straight onto LinkedIn. They all have Twitter feeds. They all have Facebook pages. They all have LinkedIn groups. And they feel like, I don't need a recruiter. I don't need all those people in the system because I can do it myself.
Yeah.
And while the market was really soft and there were a lot of people who had been laid off, hiring managers had this perception in their head that somebody who'd been laid off was laid off for a reason, because they weren't any good, which is not true in a downturn for the majority of people.
Right.
You know, if a company gets rid of a division, it's not because any one individual in that division was no good.
Right.
But that perception persists.
Yeah. Is it fair to say, I'm sorry to interrupt again. Okay, not really. There's two parts of it, actually. The very, very best person in that division doesn't get laid off.
Well, that is
true. Right? And people illogically turn that on its head and say, if the very, very best person got laid off, they somehow then say, everybody else had a reason to get laid off. And that's the story people tell themselves. That, in fact, is exactly the opposite. If the very, very, very best person is saved, what the company is trying to say is, we know we're losing good people. Right? We're just going to take the chance to save the one or two or three. So if you have a stigma in your head about getting laid off, please, folks, let it go. Let it go from two experienced recruiters. It's unnecessary. There are recruiters who may mention it, and it may in fact make a difference, but it is not true.
And you can't make any difference.
And there's
if that's their mindset, there's nothing you're going to do that's going to change their mind.
Exactly.
So that process, that the fact that there's been a lot of people laid off in the last, say, 5 years, caused something in recruitment that hiring managers valued passive candidates more highly than active candidates. And a passive candidate is somebody in a job, and an active candidate is somebody out of a job and looking. And so their perception was that if the person was in a job, they must be doing a good job, and therefore they were a more valuable candidate. And because you could reach those passive candidates via LinkedIn, via the Facebook page, via whatever, those two things came together to mean that people were reaching out to candidates directly. So that will continue until the market is really buoyant again. And so the guidance we want to give you is the opportunities will come to you. Some opportunities will come to you. You will have to go out and seek other opportunities, but some opportunities will come to you if you can be found.
Right.
And the de facto standard for that right now is LinkedIn.
Right.
But that's just a minimum. Like, you need to be active in your technical community. You need to have a network. You need to be performing well. And if none of those things are true for you, or only one or three out of four are true for you right now, then those four things need to be your goal for next year.
Okay, good. And I think we could probably tell them some more about staying active in the technical community. I say that at conferences all the time. They're like, what does that mean? I say, well, you're a project manager. Are you involved in PMI? And they say, what's PMI? He's like, dude, how do you not know that?
Oh,
Google. And I actually told one guy, Google it. He said, well, that's why I came to the conference. I said, and I actually joked with him. I said, this conference is not about recruiting. It's about management. And he was worried about his job. And I was shocked that a project manager didn't know what PMI was.
That's terrible.
Or PMP or anything. Yeah. Okay, good.
Quick trick. If you're in a major city, do meetup.com, type in your speciality. There will be a group. That's your technical community.
It's literally a no-brainer.
Yeah.
That's the price of this cast. Oh, wait. These casts are free. Darn it.
Chose the business model.
Yeah.
It's all your fault.
I'm absolutely happy with our business model. Give everything we know away we know for free. Okay, second thing, in-house is coming back. Apply directly. I assume that means the disintermediation means that some hiring managers are like, I know who I want. I know where they are. I'm more aware of them. They're more visible to me thanks to all the media that exist in the last 5 years and so. Gosh darn it, you need to know me and you need to talk to me directly.
Yeah, there was a phase for about the last 10, 12 years have come big companies outsourcing their recruitment because they could outsource it to a company that only did recruitment.
That had expertise
and therefore they would have economies of scale. And they
could cut back on the core number of employees there.
Yeah.
Because they didn't believe that recruiting people was a critically core skill.
Yeah.
And what Peter Drucker will tell you is never, ever outsource recruiting or the choice of hiring who you hire.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the cost of the technology plus the failures they've had in hiring plus the difficulty of managing outsourced recruiting, all those things are kind of coming together, and a lot of the big companies are bringing their recruiting back in-house, so they are recruiting recruiters who are going to work directly for the company. So I've got some examples: Coke, GE, Pfizer, Microsoft, and Nike. There's six big companies who used to have outsourced recruiting who now have in-house. Even for senior roles, and that was something that never used to happen. Like above VPs, they used to have executive recruiters, and now they're not even doing that.
When we say executive recruiters, guys, that means external agencies, right? Headhunters, right? You generally don't think of the VP of recruiting of GE as a headhunter. He's not a headhunter. No. He's a corporate recruiter.
So the company saves roughly 40% of salary every time they don't use an agency, because that's the cost of an agency. And that quickly adds up if you think that a recruiter probably costs in-house $120,000 maybe, and there's no commission to pay.
Right.
So it's pretty quick.
For a $250,000 a year job,
you're done.
Exactly. Yeah.
So if you're interested in a particular company, try and find out how they recruit. And the way you can do that is go to their website and look and see if they have an online job board. Look for jobs, or type in the search thing jobs. And check out Twitter too. A lot of the recruiters are advertising jobs on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn. And it will be the company and a job rather than an agency and a job. And if there's
and that makes you feel so much better talking to an agency about a big company in the Northeast recruiting for X. That sense of lack of transparency, lack of visibility, I think is debilitating for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But if you know you're going to Nike, you're talking to Nike, and you think Nike is a cool company, like so many people mistakenly do, nothing against Nike, folks. We love people at Nike. But the issue of, I really want to work for a consumer products company. Nobody ever says I want to work for Applied Materials because they don't even know what Applied Materials does, but Applied Materials is a pretty cool company, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that sense of visibility that I'm talking directly to the company is misleading, but we're glad you feel that. We're happy you feel that. And you know you're talking to Nike.
Yeah. Okay, and most of the companies are using the same kind of technology that agencies used to use. So on their jobs pages, on their website, they will have send me updates of jobs that meet these criteria. You won't have to go back to the company website eternally. It will keep sending you emails and updates, so you don't need to. It's not going to make things any harder for you. Nick should make things easier.
Yeah, I'm thinking about my friend Adam Antonovich in China. I'm thinking about somebody with Nike who would be like, yeah, this is a great company. And I have always felt like the better your network is, the more chances are. Your network usually includes a lot of people, a lot more people in companies as opposed to in recruiting firms. Not that recruiting firms are not companies, of course, folks. So the better your network is, the easier it is to find out where you want to go. And if you know people at other companies, or if you don't know people at other companies and suddenly all your searches are through agencies, you feel a little blind. And being this trend of in-house is something you definitely can take advantage of.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say to me, well, I went to LinkedIn and searched for Nike.
No.
But why not?
Yeah, they have have a corporate page and a bunch of jobs. I can guarantee it without even looking.
Yeah, or Microsoft or GE. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And you not only find Nike's page, you find everybody who says they work at Nike.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. And it'll tell you which of those people are in your network.
And maybe there's 15 of them. Yeah. Which people are always amazed by.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, that guy's in my network. He's a friend of a friend. Or he requested me for some. And oh my gosh, five guys went to school at Rutgers, where I went to school, and they're at Nike. Why would you not reach out to those guys?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. This is not an ad for Nike, by the way. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Kidding, Adam.
So make sure you can be found by the corporate recruiters, which is the same point as we made just now. And the other one is, if you know what company you want to work for, apply directly.
Yeah, if there's somebody out there who says, LinkedIn's like Facebook. I mean, for those of you who don't know, I'm on LinkedIn. Feel free to friend? No, it's not friend.
I think it's connect
with me and Wendy and Mike and Danny Martin on LinkedIn. We'd love to do that. On the other hand, I only recently got on Facebook. Please don't ask to friend me on Facebook. I'm just keeping it for my kids. If you're like me about LinkedIn, or like me about Facebook, the way, if you're like me and how I felt about Facebook, which is no, mm-hmm. about LinkedIn, you're nuts.
Yeah.
Okay. LinkedIn has become a de facto standard. I think we talked about this a couple of years mm-hmm. ago, right? And why wouldn't you go there? I mean, you can almost think of LinkedIn as a gigantic job board.
Oh,
or
it is.
Or at least a leads board.
Yeah,
right?
That's how they're making their money. So yeah. They're always going to make that the easiest part of their platform.
They're
going to
make the talent connection, mm-hmm. job connections, search, recruiting, not hard.
Yeah.
It's not going to be an afterthought for them. They're going to make it easy. Yeah, totally. That's been my experience. When I look at them, I go, whoa, okay, LinkedIn is clearly presenting this in a way that makes it easy for me to decide all kinds of things on either side of the equation.
Okay? Yeah.
Good. Okay, let's talk about achievement focus. I love this one. This is my favorite one.
So more and more of the advice that I'm seeing says that resumes need to focus on what you've achieved using quantified results. And every time I see it, I think, we said that.
We've been saying that. Like I said, like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
25 years ago.
Yeah. And that's good for you if you've already got a CareerTools style resume. You don't have to do anything different apart from keep track of your accomplishments. But it really works for you because the more hiring managers and recruiters who are moving to this style of recruitment, using quantified accomplishments, looking for results, means that you'll stand out because you've been practicing writing accomplishments, keeping track of things, and having a really great resume. And the Google stuff that was released recently, that everybody's talking about as if it was news.
Yeah,
that,
I think I wrote about this in Things I Think, right?
Yeah.
The bastards say welcome.
Yeah. Hiring is much better if you do it based on results. Nowhere, really?
And you should use behavioral-based interviews, which, of course, guys, if you don't know this, the resumes that we recommend, the one-page accomplishment-driven resume, is built in, or if you keep the concept that the job of a resume is to get you an interview, why would you, unless the system was had an incredibly discontinuity between search and interviewing, why would the process that we evaluated resumes, how we did that, be enormously different from how we did interviews, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna look for X in resumes, but Y when we interview people. No, it doesn't make any sense. The resume we recommend, the one-page accomplishment-based, reverse chronological resume, is built because we know the best firms in the world use behavioral interviewing. And every single bullet on a behavioral-based, on an accomplishment-based resume is the core of a behaviorally-based interview answer. Give me an example of an accomplishment you're proud of. Tell me what you did and how you did it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what your resume is. It literally says to them, I have 20 answers to the questions I know you're going to ask me, right? Which is why I think people got frustrated when places like Google said, why are manhole covers round, blah, 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 or how many marbles, how many tennis balls, how many baseballs in a 747.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you put baseballs in 747, it would be a problem because why wouldn't you want people playing baseball with them rather than filling up a 747?
True.
Yeah, I like this one because I want people to hear this one. I feel like finally a trend is supporting.
Yeah.
We're never trendy.
No,
right?
We're not.
We're just right.
Yeah, we're so far ahead of the curve, the trend hasn't even got there.
Right. So, and you say updating your accomplishment quarterly, right?
Yeah.
We recommend that as part of the career management document.
And that's becoming even more important because, one, you want as many accomplishments on your resume as you on your career management document as you can so that you can create the best resume for each opportunity you find. And the second thing is if you're writing your resume quarterly or updating your career management document quarterly, you're focused on results. And it's easy for all of us to drift, to be put off by something.
What I love about that is now we're reverse engineering what we wanted in the begin with. What do we tell managers all the time at the conference? Two things you need to do are results and retention, right? Mm-hmm. And if you get results, that's the core of anybody's career. Achieve results and then develop relationships. And if you know every quarter you're going to have to go to your career management document and write something down, it's going to help you make those marginal choices that will give you one or two more accomplishments, and you'll learn how to write them over the course of your first or second year in your career. Because as we were talking about today, as we're looking at video studios, we realize that it is literally the action you take, or the learning that you achieve because you're taking action, and you have to adapt to the situation you're mm-hmm. in. Having that career management document, writing those accomplishment bullets every 90 days. I don't know why I don't get any comments in the forums like, hey, I just did this. Could somebody help me write an accomplishment bullet for it?
Yeah, right? we do get occasionally, but much less than they should be, right? If we think that everyone's doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, the keeping focused on results is really good. And guys, look, if you're worried about getting laid off, you get really good results. You greatly reduce the chances you're on the bubble. In other words, your boss is going to go into a steel cage deathmatch meeting. If you don't know what that is, we have a podcast for that on the managerial side. And he or she's going to be able to defend you. Look, the guy's got results. Isn't that what we want around here? And some VP is going to say, darn right, give me people with results. Good. Okay. Social media recruiting works. A watershed moment. Wendy Lord and Mark Horseman saying, manager tools, career tools saying, social media recruiting works.
If you want to work in social media.
Yes.
So I've been seeing stuff about infographic resumes, which I hate.
The idea of a bunch of icons, infographic
I can't
things.
Even read them. I hate them. And I understand that there are people who have visual understanding and probably understand them more than I do, but I have the... video recruiting.
We hear that one all the time. Video, right? Yeah. No, really? No. Guys, you know, we were talking earlier today. Somebody, I think Danny or somebody said something about she listened to a podcast about the origin of no. So, video recruiting, no.
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 Sending hiring managers presents. The people that do... the boards, I can't think what they're called. Oh, sandwich boards and stand and walk up and down the country. Yeah. There was a girl who did adverts on Facebook. She bought a bunch of Facebook ads saying that she really wanted to work for the company, who didn't employ her, I'd like to point out. So all of these things cause a splash because they're media worthy. They're interesting. Nobody wants to talk about...
And people think, my God, if she got written up, surely she got all kinds of traffic.
Because nobody ever wants to write about Joe sitting at his desk 4 hours, because that's how long it takes to create a good resume, and going over and over and over it. It's like...
And talking about accomplishments and quantifying it, putting it on the front end, result first, right?
It's like the process of writing. Nobody ever says, can I have film of Stephen King, in the middle of writing a book? Because all it is him sitting at the desk writing, but him finishing or beginning... That's exciting.
Very.
It's far more exciting for the media to write about someone who got her job through Twitter or got a job through some wacky thing and caught the attention of a hiring manager. So don't believe all you read is what I would say there.
Okay.
And big companies are embracing social media.
Oh,
and they do have social media teams. And there's one or two social media people in the marketing department. But the vast majority of companies, the IT manager is concentrating on getting all of his programs in on time, on budget. And he isn't on Twitter. He isn't the social media guy. He might be on it in his personal time, but he's not thinking about work. And if you want to work for him, you have to do it the conventional way, because he still does.
Right. I do think there are a few people that are social media savvy, mm-hmm. and constantly tweeting and checking their feeds and so on. If the more technical you are, the less likely that it is. The more marketing you are, the more advertising, the more selling you are, is more likely. And then ultimately, if you're in social media, that's the one place where those people, they want to tell a story about how we got this guy through social media. Mm-hmm. And so they're naturally biased toward having it that way. Everybody else is biased the other way.
And how many companies are there in social media? Well, startups, which is another one that works in social media. But the majority of the economy is small and medium-sized companies, and they aren't recruiting that way.
Okay. The market's lumpy.
Yeah.
That's a really technical phrase. I'm not sure I know what it means.
The market's lumpy. Don't believe what you read. So the market is, the employment market is very different depending on your location, your salary band, your experience, your job title. You know, there's job titles where, and locations where they cannot get enough people. They just can't employ people fast enough. There's huge shortages. There's other places where there's too many people.
Right. Well, a good example, I just read an article about somebody had a call center, a major corporation had a call center, and they're moving out of North Dakota, and North Dakota was okay with that because their unemployment was like 3%. And they said, look, we're paying high school kids $20 an hour to work at McDonald's because all of them, the moment they're old enough, can go work in the oil fields and fracking and so on. And they have the lowest unemployment rate, I think, in the nation or near to it. And they essentially have what amounts to full employment. Economists will tell you that there's no such thing as 0% unemployment, but they have what amounts to realistic or there's another phrase, I can't think of what it is, about essentially full employment, mm-hmm. at 2% unemployment. And you can't get call center employees, you can't pay call center employees enough. It didn't make economic sense, and they moved, yep. Right? Okay, so the market is lumpy. Another way to say it is you're not going to have the market experience.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. So when the economist, when the Fed announces its rates every year, every month, and the unemployment figures come out, and the economists say the market's doing this or the market's doing that, they're talking about the entirety of the economic mm-hmm. model. And not all markets rise at the same time. So there's leading indicators for the economy, and those are the things that rise before the rest of the economy. And there are lagging indicators, and they go after the economy as a whole. And so the first thing that rises, usually, is the manufacturing hours for existing employees. So they start giving overtime to people in manufacturing because people are buying more, and therefore we need more goods.
Right. And they have known quantities of employees. And what I mean by that, known quantities, known qualities. I know the people I have here now are the people I want here now. Otherwise, I would have kept them. I would have got written them before. And I know I can get the most out of asking these people to do more.
Yeah.
Hiring two more people is not as smart as giving 2% more overtime to a staff of 100 to people who already know how to do it. Because those two new people, unless you're rehiring somebody who used to work there, aren't going to be as productive. That additional 2%, you won't get it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that happens first. Then the delivery speed for vendors, that extends because manufacturers are increasing its orders and there's less stock.
Right.
And then building permits rise before the building starts. So before people buy houses and building starts, all the building permits have to be got. So
those, and the people who make decisions about building permits don't want to build houses, don't want to spend the money to build houses that aren't going to be bought. And so they're good at paying attention to when they think the market is going to turn, and that they think at the end of the time that I finish this building, somebody will be ready to buy it.
Absolutely.
Right. And if you don't know when that happens, it doesn't matter. You have to pay attention to when building permits rise.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but all of those indicators, when people talk about them, they're usually talking about the economy as a whole, and what it's doing in your city could be very different. So I had a look at the unemployment in April 2013. In Midland, Texas, it's 3%, which, as you said, is practically,
business, right?
Practically full employment.
Right.
It's 30% in Yuma, Arizona, which is a third of the people who want to be working.
And people in Yuma, I would be willing to bet, people in Yuma and April were saying, the market is horrible.
Yeah.
And people in Midland would probably say, I heard the market's horrible, but probably what they would also say, other people who don't read, who don't pay attention, who don't watch TV, who don't read the Wall Street Journal, who don't read their local paper, and that's not a small percentage of people, say, there's no problem with unemployment. We're good.
Yeah, exactly. Right? People in Yuma are saying there's no job. And again, it's really different between industries. So in April 2013, 14% unemployment in waste management, 2.6% in hospitals. And yes, there is problems with this data.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of problems. They're going to change the way a bunch of things are measured in the next 3 months, I think, which is going to change all of the numbers. But these are good indicators that whatever somebody is telling you about how their job search is going does not apply to you, because one, you have more knowledge because you're listening to us, and two, you don't believe what The market is telling you as a whole, because it's about the individual.
Everyone assumes that everyone else is experiencing what they're experiencing, right? Yeah. And you're not the market. There is not an American family. For those of you who are American, there is not an American family living 30 miles north of Wichita, Kansas, with 2.3 children. It doesn't exist. But that is the center of the geographic family market. And you never experience the market. No. You experience your experience. This is David Ogilvie's quote. I'm sure I've said it 4 or 5 times. Consumers are statistics. Customers are people. And you're not a consumer when you walk in the store. You're a customer.
Yeah.
And that customer experience goes in with 10,000 other customers to cause that store to have a consumer experience in the minds of all of its consumers. And you only talk about that store having consumers in the aggregate. Yeah. But you are not the aggregate.
Absolutely.
And depending upon where you live and what you do and how hard you work and how much you avoid trendy things is going to determine what your experience is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I would also say that too many people talk about the market.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, just stop talking about the market. When people say to you, the market's not that good, it doesn't matter. Come up with something. Well, you know what, dude? I don't want to talk to you. That ain't helping me. Gee, thanks.
Yeah.
Well, if the market's so bad and you know I'm searching, you owe me a beer because I can't afford it.
Yeah.
Right?
And if you're somewhere where you think that the market's really bad, or you've been unemployed for 6 months, or and you're out of ideas, post on the forums and we'll help you, because there's still things you can do.
Yeah. Good.
So shall I sum up?
Yeah, please.
So we've got disintermediation continues. I'm going to regret putting that word in this cast.
It is a great word. It reminds me of anti-disestablishmentarianism.
That's true.
But disintermediation is a fundamental part of the digital revolution.
Absolutely.
Right? The reason manager tools and career tools exist is we don't want individual professionals to have to go through some third party aggregating things, having somebody else buy their knowledge. We want to give it directly to the individual so you can implement it. So you don't have to have a great boss. You can listen to us in Career Tools. You don't have to be taught by your company how to be a great manager or go to some training that only your company can afford. You can learn it from us directly. So,
yeah.
Sorry.
In-house is coming back.
So know people and then apply directly. And
Absolutely.
If you don't know people, start building your network now.
Yep.
And just because you don't know them, what you don't do is immediately know them and then bombard them with resumes. Maybe you ought to think in-house is coming back and I ought to start building my resume. So the next time I do it, I'll have lots of people at a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Achievement focus is spreading. So keep your accomplishments up to date and focus on your results.
And if you don't know what our resume is that we're talking about, guys, there's a cast, one of our most popular, Your Resume Stinks. And if you don't know what we're talking about, we bet that's true for you. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Social media works. Social media recruiting works if you want to work in social media.
Love that one.
And the market is lumpy. Don't believe all you read.
Yeah. And our standard guidance is still true. Results and relationships are the heart of this whole thing. Good economies and bad. Concentrate on results. Concentrate on relationships. You're always going to be fine.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.